This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Not a happy day for any Australian sporting fans around the great brown land. We pride ourselves on our sporting achievements, and the jewel in the crown is the Australian cricket team. And very, very sad news coming out of South Africa regarding our team. That's going to be the topic du jour today, Jane, I think. Is that fair to say?
It strikes at the heart of every Australian, because we're a fair country, we're a fair mob, and we like that, but this ain't how it should be.
Triple M Cricket's James Brayshaw, who I commentated with, had the pleasure, played a bit at the top level, knows what he's talking about, comes at it from all angles. He's going to come in here and try and talk us through all the events.
We mainly want to hear from you, the callers, because we think you feel very strongly about this, and we're up for hearing your views.
We're going to open up the phone lines. Give us a call from anywhere in Australia and get it off your chest. Tell us what you think. We'll hear from the PM. We'll hear from Cricket Australia's James Sutherland. We'll hear from former captains, everyone, in recorded speeches. They're not coming on, but we're going to play you grabs from them.
We're also going to talk to Limo. He's coming in, and another sport-loving Australian.
He'll have something to add to that. We'll have a look around the globe as well and see what the world is making of this. And then to lighten the mood, we might get around to Stormy Daniels. Has done a cracking interview with 60 Minutes over there.
And I'm going to inform people about how you can get yourself a penis facial.
All right.
Okay. Yes, wake up, everyone.
It's a broad church here at Kennedy Malloy.
It is.
How are you, Jane Kennedy? We'll get to the We'll park the cricket. We'll get JB in here in just a minute to talk us through. How was your weekend?
Mine was fine, but more to the point, how are you? Because you had your RDO on Friday.
Had my RDO on Friday. I went to the Grand Prix.
You did.
It's largely good. Sketchy memories.
Really?
There are bits that are clear. Hello, Dave, by the way.
G'day, guys.
Dave,
great
how are you?
Great to see you there. You're looking refreshed. Mickey.
What do you mean?
That's one way to describe it.
Yeah, 3 days off.
I've had 3 days off, all right.
Three.
I wouldn't say refreshed.
Neither would I.
Pretty hard yards. I've been to the Grand Prix. I've had two games of footy. And I've given it a fair crack.
You gave it a fair crack. You finally buried the hatchet with Simone Holtznagel.
Oh, wow, that was a scary moment.
Yes, she came and approached you in a marquee,
is that correct? And look, I have to say, it's pretty much as described in the papers was how it
happened.
Because
you've been splashed all over the papers again, Mick.
Mm. Yeah, it's been getting a bit of coverage, this thing. It wasn't huge on my scale, but look, it was a intimidating thing to see a very striking woman in a leopard skin print come charging through the doors and make a beeline for you.
Looking a bit cross.
But of course, I've turned around, I've got four drinks in my hand. And I'm going, okay, this is either really good or really bad. I don't know what it is. And to be honest,
stunning, not you, her.
Simone.
Hello.
Holtznagel. Made a beeline for me and gave me a fair piece of her
mind.
I accepted it.
Yep.
I apologised. It's all as written in the story.
You
know what I did? I said something that was
stupid
about another person.
That's right.
I got called on it. And I accept that.
Yep.
I'm still a bit unsure of how this is a Category 5 feminist issue.
I
really struggle with
it's
that aspect.
Not at all.
And she had a good
sense of humour about the whole thing.
She was very kind to me. She could have been quite nasty. It was a humbling experience, and she looks awesome, as she always did.
I know.
As she did when I got a face.
And as if you would say it about her if she didn't look awesome. Anyway,
so she was there, and that was great, and thank you for being adult and letting me off the hook. You're very lovely.
Yes.
Now,
Speaking of being adult,
the roulettes were there as well.
Oh, yes.
I saw them.
All the roulettes were there, and
your roulettes.
I'd had a couple by the time I saw the roulettes. And I was trying to get them to give me a call name. Like Maverick.
Yeah.
Oh, they give them all this. So we came up with two. One with Butterbean.
Butterbean.
Or Mr. Percival. They were my codes. They were there. Everything was great. We had a ball.
That's great.
I love the race. Thank you for having me, the Grand Prix Corporation, and Andrew Westercott and everyone down there. You're very lovely to me. Thank you.
Good for you.
Mm.
So we had Hamish Blake.
Yeah, how'd it go?
We're fine. It was great. Yeah, so it was awesome.
How was the honest chemistry?
Well, I thought it was really.
I haven't heard any, of course, but I thought we might as well have a listen to a few bits. No, I think we should just see how you got on, what you were talking about.
Oh, I got some bits.
Have you? Oh, good on you, Dave. Yeah, give us a sample.
All right, have a listen.
Do you mind if I do my best, Mick?
Please do your Mickey intro, go.
Yes! Good afternoon, Australia. Bang! Friday. Here we are. Pantaloons. Strap yourself in. Cavalcade of entertainment coming towards you. All right, and many other things that I can't remember, so good on them. Yes, Mickey says yes. That will be good.
That's just Mick when he's just stalling. He just reduces it to one word every 3 seconds and bangs the desk. We will discuss it.
Oh, yeah, there's the intro. Thanks,
that's
Hamish.
Firstly from Hamish, but you seem to be laughing along a bit there.
Oh, I really enjoyed that.
Why, did you think that was a good impersonation?
Yeah, I did. I did.
You know what? That's
what you don't give me the whole snog.
Well, right. Shut up, Dave. You were laughing along too. Have you got any more? Is there anything else we can play?
Well,
how'd you get on in general?
Well, I wanted to make Hamish feel welcome.
Give us another bit. Give us another
Okay. Pretty good feeling in here.
Feels good.
Right, God, this is good. I'm loving it.
Hey, Hamish, I've baked you some cookies.
What?
I baked him.
Jane's got fresh cookies. Have one, Dane.
Do you want one?
Yeah.
Have a cookie.
Really good.
Yeah. Where's my effing cookies? How long have we been doing this show? You've never baked a cookie for me.
No, I know. I haven't. You'd wolf the whole lot.
You occasionally pour me a Chardonnay, depending on how much is left. But that's as much as I ever get round here.
Yeah, well, it's
What is wrong with you?
We did try and contact you, though, while at the Grand Prix, we got a message back from you, but wasn't exactly what we were after.
What was it?
Mick Malloy's just bum-dialed Sam, my producer.
Yeah, it's just the swishing of Mick's pants. Did it sound like he was running?
Sounds like running.
Something's happened.
No.
Yes. It sounded distinctly like a pair of tight suit pants were climbing out a toilet window and running across a lawn somewhere.
His corduroys.
That's Mick. So wherever he is, run like the wind, Mickey. We miss you.
I was running from Simone Holzenberger and trying not to spill any of the four beers I had in my hand at the time. Good day, had by all.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dave's a bit rattled.
He and I aren't getting on.
Very special guest is James Brayshaw from Triple M Melbourne's Rush Hour.
Yeah.
And, of course, Triple M.
Triple M cricket. And, of course, now Channel 7 Saturday night football coverage. Great call on Saturday night. And great to see you. Honboy's part of the team. You were having some harsh words, you two. Is it? You used to work together?
He's completely dead to me, Dangerous.
Listen.
He used to do our show many years ago, and then we said to him, well, okay, we'd like you to anchor for us at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And this is last year, of course, before this magnificent show came on board. And Dangerous said, no, I can't do it. I've got family reasons. I didn't realise that. Jane, he used the words work-life balance.
Oh,
so
right.
I've got to be home and see my kids and all the rest of it. So
completely
when,
true.
Shut up, Dangerous. So when I heard Kennedy Malloy coming on and, of course, was so amazed that this show was going to be brilliant, I said, oh, good. Who's anchoring it? Bit of a pregnant pause. Dave.
Yep.
I said, so this is the sort of duplicitous business that I now go with a man called Least Dangerous Dave because never has there been a less dangerous man.
If it makes you feel any better, we had to fight really hard. There was offers, we had to beat the door.
A lot of politics involved.
Of course there was.
But JB, we've thought that you would be a great person to speak with regarding this issue, which is just, one of the biggest sport, if not news stories for many years.
It is. Now, look, one of my favourite times of the year is getting on board with Triple M Cricket, and I know you love it as well, and it's a great team, and we get to travel around Australia, living out second maybe to playing the game at the top level,
which I didn't do, but
you did. So let's put that one to bed, but is to go around and commentate and to be at the cricket every day, be behind the bowler's arm, to be surrounded by former greats, and it's like living out a boyhood dream, that same boyhood dream you had when you used to sit down and watch the ABC, because it was the only test broadcast you had with the camera up one end and it was black and white and you would watch it. Now, the love affair begins there and it's gone on forever. Mm. What happened in South Africa and what does it mean?
Well, what happened is so hard to get your head around, because I'm sure that's what Pat Howard's going over there to work out now.
Yep.
He'll get them all into a room and, you know, I mean, I'm sure the first question he'll ask, Jane, is which one of you brain surgeons honestly thought
came up with the right way
to behave? I mean, beside of this, the fact that it's fragrantly breaking, you know, the laws of the game, it is also horrendously outside the spirit of the game.
That's incredible.
And we hold ourselves, and openly do in Australia, we hold our Australian cricket team to a higher standard than anywhere else in the world with regard to their cricket team.
And why do we do that?
Because we demand behaviours of our team that are meant to be met.
And it's our only real national sport. Right. And it's our summer sport. And it's forever. They've said it before, haven't they? The captain of the Australian cricket team is the second most powerful man in the country to the PM. And some would argue vice versa.
Yes.
So with that incredible responsibility is...
Well, Mick, I was watching my beautiful partner, Lisa, who you know, we were sitting and watching the news the other day, last night, and the story came on, you know, and they went into detail about it all, and they obviously played big slabs, Jane, of the press conference. Mm. What Cameron Bancroft was doing in that press conference for a start is mind-numbing.
Well, that was going to be a question I was going to ask.
Why would you make a ninth gamer go and sit? I mean, I don't understand that. But anyway, I'm watching it. And Lise turned to me and she said, you're actually quite emotional, aren't you? And I said, I am. And I said, I am, because that is our Australian cricket captain sitting on my television screen and admitting to willfully cheating in a game of cricket. It has never happened before.
Do you think he understood when he was saying it at that time? Because I was shocked when I saw the press conference as well, that he admitted to it. Do you think it sunk in at that time to him, what he was saying?
Jeez, I hope so. Because, I mean, it's just it's unfathomable to me that that could happen.
It's a bombshell. We have one of the best bowling lineups in the world. Bar none.
Yep.
It's never we've flirted with a lot of stuff in cricket. You've had your man cats, you've had your underarms, you've had your aluminium bats, you know, you've had chucking scandals, you've had bookie scandals. All of these are bending of the rules. Some of them are actually within the rules of the game. But no, I can't recall anyone conspiring and admitting
to willfully cheat
to win a game. No. And hear it from our test team, who we hold in such high regard, who is a national treasure, who we do demand, who represent us all around the world. What's happening around the world right now is incredible, and we'll get to that shortly. Yep. But some of the headlines from places who love cricket is just.
But it's a unified. This is what astonishes me. Often in these worldwide, or this story that is so dramatic, that there's 50-50. Some people are either got. This is the first time I've seen everybody thinking the same thing.
Yeah, true. Is this a line in the sand? Can this, following up on Jane's question, can we go, this is it, we need to change the character and the spirit and the way we play cricket. Maybe from sledging down, we have to look at everything and go, we need to change the way we're represented.
You're talking
on the world
culture,
stage.
Mick, is what you're doing. Yeah. And I reckon it talks to what sort of a culture you've got that would allow this to come out of it. And we spoke earlier on with Bill Brownless about the amazing legacy of the All Blacks and the sweeping of the sheds and all of that. And as I understand from the bits I've read of that particular legacy, what they did is they've about 10, 15 years, whenever it was, they were concerned, Jane, about the direction they were headed culturally.
Right.
And so they borrowed...
With the cockiness, with an attitude.
With the off-field behaviour, with the on-field behaviour. That's it. Right. And they said that the greatest privilege in New Zealand is to pull on the all-black jersey. So they borrowed straight from the Sydney Swans and said, we're having a no-dickhead policy.
Yep.
And they cleaned out anyone who that they didn't think was going to uphold their standards. And then they brought out this incredible clean the sheds sort of mantra.
Yes.
And Richie McCaw, obviously an amazing person. And what's happened now is that you are, if you are privileged enough to play for the All Blacks, they've got a very high standard that you must meet of behaviour. And if you don't, you don't play. And so maybe with all of this, the Australian cricket team have got, as you say, a lightning flash, a line in the sand, whatever it is, where they go, right, we need to get our own house in order. We need to get our own culture established to a point where our standards are met every second of every day. And perhaps they've got that opportunity now.
Did the culture morph slightly with the introduction of these insane salaries at lower bases for games like 2020? And all of a sudden you've got these superstars, they're travelling the world. Did Test cricket become less important to, you know, when we were growing up, it was every boy's childhood dream to play Test cricket for Australia.
Yeah.
In the current climate, there's guys wearing caps for Australia that are in 2020 or will never play Test cricket. There's RBL, money offered to yep. people to go all over the world. Has this somehow fractured what it means to be part of that Australian test team?
We talk about this culture thing and the fact that they've got this ability now to maybe impact on it, but I would have said it was pretty good. I mean, we just did the 5-test series.
Yep.
Steve Smith's as good a fella as you'll meet.
Totally.
I've known him for a long time.
Oh, I love watching him play.
So that's how it's so heartbreaking, though, for
this
guy.
That's why I had the tears in my eyes, because I know him as a bloke. And
he gets booed off the field.
He's been booed
off. He's been booed off in South Africa, who, by the way, was a country that gave us Hansie Cronier, and there's a number of different things down the pike.
Mick, so, please, when they were last out here and beat us in that test series and played unbelievably well, Faf du Plessis, who's now their captain, was blatantly guilty of ball tampering himself.
Correct. So we're not going to take a lot of those, but we do want to actually have a look at where we're at.
Yeah, so and Darren Lehman, I've known, I've played with him for years.
Yep. He seems like a good boy.
Wonderful. So I didn't necessarily think we had cultural issues, but for this to happen is unthinkable, and I think we've got to, as I say, be very, very decisive as to what we do from now on.
And what is that? What do you think will be the result of the Cricket Australia investigation?
I think they've done the right thing, and that's bought themselves, 48 hours?
Yep.
Because there's no point coming straight out and going, right, well, he's gone and he's gone without knowing exactly what happened. So, as I say, I think they've got to get them all into a room over there and go, right, what happened here? Who knew about it? Why did it happen? How did it happen? And from there,
and has it happened before?
Well, that is exactly right. And from there, Jane, I think you then need to very strongly deal with how you go forward.
I blame Lara Bingle.
Your theory, you've got to get a load of this back over another time.
All I know, Mick, is ball tampering's been going on since Adam was a boy.
Yes.
And it was certainly rife in the 10 years I played. Because there had to be a reason why I kept missing them.
That is a discussion for another time.
Thank you, JB.
Thanks for swinging by. I appreciate your insights.
Not good to see you, Dangerous.
Nice to see you, JB. Hey, but by the way, if you want to have your say, give us a ring 133353, or you can get us on all the socials at Kennedy Molloy.
I'd like to hear from like a dad who's got to explain this to his kid who's playing cricket, or someone from a local cricket club who's going to have to go down there and explain it. Anyone else, any insights, just let us know what you're thinking.
The board's going nuts already.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Molloy. That's just my best guess.
This is a huge story. I think it's the darkest day of Australian sport. Some people will accuse this of overhype, but to me, you can't argue with how you feel, and I've just never felt so gutted.
Yes,
I did when all this came through, and it just I didn't see it coming, and I can't see where we go or how we recover from here, but we really want to get your feedback because it's your team, and we'll all have views on this. Let's start with Jason. Jason, what's your dominant emotion at the moment?
Yeah, guys, I'm really sad. I woke up, and heard about all the news, and I guess it might be an overreaction. It might be silly to say, but I was really saddened by it. It's a big identity of ours, our national sport, and it just, we're just so passionate about it. We get on our high horse about other countries and, cheating in the Olympics and like Lance Armstrong and the cycling and whatnot. And maybe it's a bit different.
Yep.
But I don't know. Just I feel like I've been let down. And to be honest, when you look at our past, everyone's been more of a gentleman. It's a gentleman's sport, and this is just stupid.
I think you're right. I reckon we have to return to those types of values. We're just saying this, and I love this cricket team, but they can be very hard to like.
Right.
Even when they're winning, because they're such fierce competitors and they make no excuse for it. But they sometimes seem like sore winners, bad losers, thin-skinned.
Is there a slight arrogance
bullying,
there?
A bullying. And so, these are the guys who came out asking for a pay rise and demanding a pay rise. We're going on a strike. We weren't going to play cricket for Australia. We're going to down tools, not go to Bangladesh. And this is how they repay you. And you go, I really want to like this team. It means so much to me. But maybe there is, as JB said, time for a bit of a cultural reboot to go, you know what, it does matter how you win.
But it's the stupidity of Cameron putting it in his pocket, in his undies, in front of all the cameras, I think is something that shocked me. And does that say to you that they're a bit blasé about it, or they just think it's not as big a deal?
I don't know, Jane.
I can't get my head around that.
I'm completely thrown by the entire idea of it, that you thought you could get away with it with 100 cameras on you.
But I would
be
shocked
even contemplate it.
Exactly. I'd be shocked if... anyway, we'll take some more callers. Yeah.
Good on you, Jason.
Mark.
How you going, guys?
Good, Mark. Your sentiments echo those of our first caller.
I was absolutely deflated when I heard this.
Yeah.
I remember waking up early morning when I was five to listen to the cricket test match on ABC radio with my grandfather.
Yep.
We had our heads held high. We were the only country that I can think of that was never caught cheating.
And, Mark, and how now, early on as a kid did you know the rules of the game and, you know, there's just some things you absolutely do not do in the game of cricket?
Well, I was five. My grandfather told me that this is the ultimate sport of gentlemen and fairness.
Yep.
I agree with you on that. I believe it's one of the greatest sporting contests in the world.
Mm.
And
it is.
When it's good, it beats the hell out of just about anything. And I don't watch 2020. I don't watch one day, apart from the World Cup every 4 years.
But there's not many world games like this, is there, as well?
This is it. And we've always had a kind of a snide look at the at the subcontinent going, what goes on down there? Gee, they need to get their house in order. Right, we have just walked into a Category 5. We've absolutely... Yep.
Thanks.
I don't know.
Thanks for your words there, Mark.
Heartbroken is a word I've heard a lot. It sounds crazy, but people are genuinely knocked around by this information.
Mike, what's your thoughts on this?
Look, I'd like to start with saying that if old Mickey there is never felt so gutted in his life, he probably should hold his own press conference for the porky he just told.
What's that?
What's that mean? What do you mean?
That means I think you've done a few things in your time that that would leave you.
I said I'm gutted. I'm not entitled to have my opinion, mate.
And not when he's representing his country.
What? What? Aren't I allowed to have an opinion on cricket?
It's a total overreaction by everyone.
Is it, mate?
Ball tampering has been going on for well over the 40 years.
But it's not an accepted thing, particularly with the Australians.
Give me an example with the Australians. When did the Australians ball tamper, Mike?
There's been plenty of footage around the world over time.
When did the Australians admit to ball tampering, ever?
Ball tampering, it's a common practice among cricketers.
I don't know whose team you play for, but I'd give them a wide berth. You're not making any sense, mate. I don't understand. So this has been going all the time. It's a play on, is it? Play
it's
on.
Absolute overreaction. And the only
What
thing,
should be the reaction, Mike?
The only thing that... that poor Smithy's been done is the only one that's told the truth. So if you lie about it, it's okay. If you tell the truth, you'll be persecuted.
Right. So what do you think the outcome should be, Mike?
Well, I think the outcome is what it is. He's admitted to doing the wrong thing and he's been suspended. The governing body has enforced a one-match ban, so that's how seriously they take it. And that's what's been given, and that's what should be enforced. He said he's not going to do it again. He's had a brain snap. And now the whole world and the South Africans are on board.
Yeah, everybody, unfortunately, Mike, it's not just one person involved in this. There's a few. So this is where it's not just one person's brain snap. It's a team's brain snap. But
Mike's
thank you for your call.
Entitled to his opinion. I do disagree. I think it's more fundamentally important than that. Dan, what are your thoughts?
How you going, Jane? Mick?
Good.
Yep.
Not bad. Hey, is JB still there, or is he taken off?
He's taken off, mate.
Oh, okay, right. So, look, I've got a little bit of a different opinion on it.
Yep.
It's not as forward as the last caller, but my opinion is the where is the line? Like, the line has been towed for so long. You've got blokes that chew on lollies to make the saliva sticky. They'll rub the ball one side, make it sticky, and rough up the edges by throwing the ball straight into the ground.
All right.
On the way back, so
it's because it's cheating, Dan.
But that has been picked up too, and that has been, and he was charged with that.
It still happened. It happens in cricket. If you watch it, it still happens. They're throwing the ball into the ground. Now, if that is deemed acceptable practice, then this doesn't seem as though it's as bad. I mean, it is bad. The conspiracy to do it before the game is obviously. That's cheating, right? It is cheating. But to then be acceptable to throw the ball into the ground and rough it up that way it just doesn't seem fair.
All right, we're taking everyone's view on this.
If you cheat in golf, you're gone. You won't be a member of any club,
banned
anywhere, anytime. If you make a mistake on your scorecard, you know what, mightn't be fair, but the rules are the rules and everyone understands the consequences for the rules.
All right, let's go to another call. Jono.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, how you doing?
Listen, the last bloke, I didn't hear too much of him, but that guy before, he's crazy, mate. He
he's off his chops.
Well, he's very tolerant of. He's okay. He's happy with cheating.
I think he's been listening too much to the morning crew.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you think? What's your personal?
I am bloody angry. We are Australian. Way back to convicts, mate. Cricket. I remember my dad taking me down. We grew up in Merrylands. Down to the Merrylands, I was able to see the great Bob Simpson come out and do a spectacle match when I was a youngster, probably not even 10. And that was round about the World Series cricket thing, you know.
Yep.
And that's when old Simo had to come back and captain the Australians because everyone had left. I'm so angry. I said to the lady before, I said, I'd just like to stand right in front of them, punch them in the nose. I'm not interested in cricket anymore. They've ruined it for me.
Despicable. See, this is a shame.
Yeah, I can understand it.
This is terrible, Jono. You don't want a generation of young people doing this too. And I'm afraid that the Test cricketers are role models, whether they like it or not. But this is just the biggest blow for young people, I reckon.
It is. And our reaction to this, I think, is really important. As well, and for the world to see that we take this seriously.
Yes, we do take it
that
seriously.
We're happy to dish it out if we think there's someone else that hasn't been doing it. But it's really important now that, given what's happened, that we are seen to be dealing with it in an appropriate way.
Absolutely.
So, and maybe out of the back of that, we can get somewhere. Hey, hang about. We've got more callers. Everyone's happy to have a say.
The switchboard has pretty much exploded today, and we understand why.
Give us a call. Kennedy Molloy, 133353. You'll be hearing from some of the politicians have to say in just a moment as well. More on that right after this.
This is Kennedy Molloy. Your new way to drive home.
Right now, we're knee-deep. We're wading through the fallout from ball tampering that's been going on down in South Africa. It's largely people are really annoyed and horrified. There are a few going, you know,
I know, but I think also people are annoyed because they're playing well. They're good, you know, it's a great team.
Great bowling lineup. I don't see why you have to do it. Quite a few coming in on Insta and tweets. It's hypocrisy at best. Australia's always the first to take them all high ground when there are allegations of ball tampering, yet here we are doing it and being caught by 30 cameras. That's Joe LeBears. Terence Roberts, on the other hand, it's been going on since the dawn of time. Steve Smith and co. must be punished, but wiping them out of the game forever is too harsh. And that might be too harsh. But
yes.
Someone's got to find the right balance there. Jeremy Flynn, complete overreaction. Umpires should have just got another ball and Bancroft should be charged with ball tampering. And that be the end of it. Every cricket nation has done it at some point. We're hearing a bit of this.
That excuse I can't stand,
to be
honest.
Yeah, it's been going on, so we condone it. Yeah, agreed. Hey, just before we go to our callers, this is the press conferences, the most jaw-dropping press conference I've ever seen in my time watching cricket.
Your phone just go off like mine?
My phone went off. I didn't know what was going on. I was quite disarmed and flabbergasted trying to piece it all together.
What's going on?
The first voice you'll hear is Bancroft, and then you'll hear Smith. Again, as JB said, why Bancroft was at that press conference, we'll never know. Bancroft describing what he did, and Smith, the fallout.
I saw an opportunity to potentially use some tape, get some granules from the, you know, from the rough patches on the wicket, and try to, change the ball condition. It didn't work. The umpires didn't obviously change the ball, but I guess once I was, you know, sighted on the screens and having done that, I panicked quite a lot, and that obviously resulted in me shoving it down my trousers.
The leadership group knew about it. We spoke about it at lunch, and I'm not proud of what's happened. You know, it's not within the spirit of the game. My integrity, the team's integrity, the leadership group's integrity has come into question, and rightfully so. It's such poor actions and deeply regrettable, and certainly won't happen again under my leadership, I can promise you.
I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I'm not proud of what's happened. And you know, I've got to live with the consequences, live with the damage to my own reputation that comes with.
I can promise you this is the first time that it's happened. If we weren't caught, I'd still feel incredibly bad about it.
a lot of remorse going on there, it would appear, but it's just the sheer folly of it.
Well, the first shock I got is when the journalists actually put the question to them and said, what happened? And Smith said, over to you. And passed the buck immediately, which I thought, uh-oh, hang on, what's going on here?
And then we discussed it at lunchtime, like we all knew what we were doing. He also said he knows it wasn't within the spirit of the game. Yes. It's not within the rules. Yeah. It's not just the spirit. So let's get that right. Paul, what do you make of the whole schmozzle?
I think it was just a, you know, gutless, un-Australian act of blatant cheating. You know, I mean, they can't just go... I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know why. They've got a pace attack that can do it themselves.
I don't know what they were thinking. That's what's in my head too.
I want to know who's the leadership group that they talk about? Because this is another...
Well, I think Dave Warner's name's been popping up a bit.
Right.
And he may well have...
What about Lyon? Is he in there?
I really don't know. And okay. I just want to get that's to the bottom of Cricket Australia's. But, you know, there's... We'll find the balance, but there's got to be some punishment coming down the pike. Jay, what do you think?
How's it going, boy? How's it going, Mick?
Yeah, good. What's going on, mate? What's your thoughts?
Mate, you just focus on shining the shiny side. That's it. You just let the bad side turn bad. You should never, ever, ever. I've played cricket my whole life. Never, ever touch the bad side.
There it is. So don't touch the bad side. And that's it. Everyone knows that. So the minute you do that, you get what you deserve. You're cheating. You're just flat chat cheating.
Yeah.
Jay, have you ever come across it in your life? Any experience this in your time in cricket?
I have. Well, I've seen sandpaper being used, and I don't agree with it. But to be in the Australian team, you're given a position of power. You're really at the forefront of the game. You should really know better. They know that. And I heard in that press conference, I've heard it already, but he was in the wrong... What did he say? The wrong place at the wrong time?
Yes.
He was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Stand there and say, no, that's not on.
Yeah.
And I can't believe the other six blokes in the team who it's not part of the leadership group that said, no, what are we doing, guys? That's just completely wrong.
I can't believe...
They should all be held accountable for allowing that to happen.
I can't believe we're finishing the test. I mean, they've agreed to cheating. So what happens? What would happen if Australia wins? What do you do?
Well, I don't know.
Well, they've admitted to cheating. How can you win a test? Craig, what's your thoughts on the matter?
I've played cricket for years and years and years, and absolutely gutted and totally disappointed in what's happened. But my biggest concern is the mental health issue now.
I'll share that with you, Craig.
Like James Heard just got absolutely crucified.
Yep.
He made a mistake.
Yep.
Chris made a mistake. Is he going to return home and have to go into hiding and then try to take his own life?
So I've had some very interesting feedback. I actually put that out on Twitter today on my Twitter feed. I said Cricket Australia should think very carefully about how they now handle the psychological care of the banned players. It's more feedback than I've ever had on anything, and it's split down the middle. People are saying you get what you deserve, but other people are saying, I guess they're young players, and there is a lot at stake for them, and there has got to be a process that even though they know they've done something wrong, they've got to go through a proper process too.
And if you're facing the anger of an entire nation...
That's pretty tough going to come home
Trust me, I've been on the receiving ends of a couple of media hazings,
and they
can get pretty fierce pretty quickly, and you do...
Well, let's be mature about how we handle this aspect of it.
Indeed, it's a good point you make, and... this is all
Thanks,
to come.
Craig.
All to come.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
I was suggesting players that can fill the test team now, and you're saying there's plenty of players.
But none like Steve Smith. And I said Steve Smith was on the cusp of when he retires, going to be mentioned second only to Don Bradman.
Get out.
And yes, now there could well be an asterisk beside that because...
You see, I can't help but feel maternal instincts now when it was all, you know, for the future of those boys.
Yeah, well, have a listen to the hostile reaction that they got in South Africa when they took the field.
The crowd are just giving Steve Smith a welcome as he strides out to the middle.
This is the country that gave us Hansi Conyer, I should point out. So, like, no one's a complete clean skin here. But that's what they're in for. And this is the pressure.
Devastating.
You have boys, Jane, they play cricket
at club level. Cricket.
What do you say to them? Have you had a chat with them? Do they know what's going on? What are they asking?
All I said was, but why, Mum? Why would you do that when you know they're the rules? I just said there's... it was a brain snap or something happened with these guys and I don't know why. He said, but both of them, twin boys, saying that we thought they play really well. Why would they do that? And I have no explanation. Here's my problem. Someone help me out. I don't think I'm on the lone wolf there and trying to explain to kids how members of the Australian Test cricket team cheated. Good luck with that.
Hey, there was a minor kerfuffle, and not insignificant when you think of it now, back in the Indian Test series when the Indians accused them of bending the rules over the use of the review. Because they would wait to have a look up into the change rooms. The change rooms would have a look at the replay and then indicate to them as to whether they should review or not. It's happened a couple of times.
Oh, really?
The Indians complained to the umpires and the umpires spoke to, Steve Smith himself, about it. So, look, we're going to get off this. I'm sorry we've spent an hour in this, but it is
we're sorry,
the biggest
but not sorry, because we discussed this before we came on to do the show today, and we just thought, no, this is really important, and it especially has affected a lot of members of our
It affects our national psyche.
People want to speak about it.
It's flags at half mast today on the Australian sporting landscape. I have a couple of offerings.
Do we still have a sense of
Insta
humour about it?
And socials, yes. Jeff Vella, if you're as bad at cricket like Mickey, then you would expect it. But not from our lads in South Africa. No prize for you. Paul Manteat, I haven't seen the incident. I haven't seen the incident. Did anyone tape it? Come on, mate.
Just yes.
And a beauty from Craig Roberts here, who says, getting the ball ready for the fourth test, and he's taken a photo of him taping up a tennis ball in the time-honoured Aussie tradition. That's the only tampering that should ever happen, is with a tennis ball and tape. That was my introduction to cricket, to backyard cricket.
And even that's backyard rules, so it's okay. You can slip that through.
Backyard rules, and the ball's swinging and zinging about. You'd cop the odd beanie.
Yeah.
And off you'd go. Your mum would say, you too, get in here. Stop your screaming. It's dinner time. Now go and have a shower before you go in. That and many more, but, you know, anyway, we'll try and move on. We'll try and, do we know when Cricket Australia will be coming out? They said they needed a couple of days. Is that what they said?
Yes, it was 48 hours. So I guess the plane's landed and I'd say, you know, they'll be chatting to the boys probably now.
In our next hour, we're going to talk about Stormy Daniels. What a fantastic 60 minutes.
Actually, that is a really interesting story.
Last night, you've got a story on, what's it called?
Penis facials.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds quite scary.
Just when you think Hollywood couldn't get more mental.
It's not what it sounds like, by the way.
God. No, it is. It is what it sounds like. Oh, no, ignore that.
Jesus, Dave. I think you need to go into more detail.
Sorry.
About what you're talking about.
Right. Limo is next.
Limo's next.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, it is. Is this me, Mick Malloy, or is it Hamish Blake doing a poor impersonation so Jane can have a laugh at my expense while I'm not here?
So you can have an RDO at my expense. Thank you very much. Come on, perk up.
Unbelievable. Is that how he said I do it?
That's it.
Something like that.
Limo, you can hear in the background, he's nosing around, about to enter the fray. But before we get there, Jane's going to talk penis facials. No, it's not what it sounds like.
Not what you're thinking. But it's so bizarre, I can't even believe it's true.
You won't believe what it is when you hear about it.
But I'm going to get one.
Stormy Daniels.
Before the show's out.
Crikey. Stormy Daniels, we're on the same...
Stormy Daniels and penis facials.
Why not?
Back to back.
Why not? It's been a heavy chat.
She spills the beans.
Yes. And more.
Telling 60-minute interview.
Very interesting.
We're going to take a look at other famous sporting cheats, not necessarily in the world of cricket cricket.
And there's been plenty, sadly.
And we might even take your calls and your tweets on that very topic, but please... Shall we begin the hour?
Yes, we shall.
By welcoming, I don't know if it's a welcome or not. I don't know if I like this guy.
Oh, I do.
I think he's been colluding behind my back.
Can I?
Miss Lima.
Hello, guys.
How are you, mate?
It's great to be here. Can I first have a crack at 60 Minutes in the States, though?
Why is that, Lima?
Did they really get the exclusive on Stormy Daniels?
That's right.
You guys speak to Stormy Daniels.
Well, did, Lima.
They're a bit late to the party, but they did. Anderson Cooper interviewed her.
Oh, he's a hack. What's he ever done?
I'm sure he used our interview as a research tool.
No doubt.
I bet you Anderson Cooper would have been sitting around in an office listening to us talk to Stormy Daniels at some stage.
The rolled-up magazine with his face on it did come up, but I'll explain that.
What would yours be if you were going to be smacked on the ass with a rolled up magazine from a porn star? I'm going to guess. It'll be an AFL grand final record.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it'll be 2013, 2014, and 2015 all rolled together into one.
What a bragger! You asked for that, Mick.
Well, I did. It's hard to know. And while we're talking AFL for 1 minute, who is the greatest team of the modern era? The Cats, the three-peat, the Brisbane three-peat, the Cats. Hawthorn or the 2017 Richmond.
Are you all right there? God, look at you all very smug.
Well, we were both in Melbourne. That's why we're talking. We were both there for the Moto
Grand Prix.
Grand Prix.
Oh, I can see your mischief making eyes light up when you hear this, Lena.
Just imagine the spring in my step when I wandered into the Network 10 box on Friday and saw the one and only Simone Hotznagel.
Wow.
A spring in my step for two reasons.
Yeah.
One.
two big reasons.
She is a.
Wow.
She's a glorious individual, and I enjoyed her company immensely. Yes. She's a lot of fun.
Yep.
And the second reason I had a little spring in my step is I knew there was a little controversy bubbling away with Mick Molloy.
And you knew I was in the next.
In the next.
Well, what happens, I was talking to her, and before I knew you.
Talking me up?
Before I knew you were next door, I said something about what was the biggest news story that struck you when you came out of the jungle, you know, some boring question like that. And she goes, apparently, I'm a bit out of shape according to Mick Molloy. And I said, and she goes, oh, now he's a mate of yours. And I said, and I defended Mick.
Yes.
I said he's a good bloke, and he wasn't being mean spirited.
How many espresso martinis you had by this stage?
I said dumb thing, Jane. A bit of more support from you would have been handy.
And while I'm defending Mick, Josh Gibson runs into the Network 10 box and says, "You won't believe who's next door." It's Mick Molloy. And Simone says, "What should I do?" And I said, "Do not go in there. This is war. Send a tweet. The best thing you can do is inflame this situation."
Oh, I don't believe you. What did you do?
No, I said, Simone, walk right in next door, go straight up to him and say, "G'day, Mick, Simone here. Break a bit of bread together and you'll love him, he'll love you, and everything will
be
fine." And
that's what she did.
It was ballsy.
And it's what she did.
It was a bloody good entrance, I have to say.
She said, "How will I know which one he is?" And I went, "Oh," and she said, "Fat bloke in a suit." And I said, "Yep, that's him."
And did you should have added carrying four beers.
Carrying four beers. But I've turned around. I've got four beers. I'm in the A1 position for Mick Molloy. I'm in pole position. Yeah. I'm at the bar.
Oh, can you imagine?
I've got four Heinekens and I wheel around 180 degrees and coming down, like coming down the catwalk at a fair
Wooshka.
Clip is Simone, and she meant business. I went, "Oh, this is either really good or really bad."
Mick holding four beers is actually his Tinder photo as well.
So anyway, she was very polite and kind. I did apologise. It was we agreed it was silly.
Yeah.
And she was very generous.
Well, she said to me that she wasn't really particularly fussed by the thing.
Well, she's the skinniest, cutest, hottest baby elephant I've ever seen.
Can I say something? I think she's too skinny. I really do. I think she needs.
Too skinny, too tall, too smart.
Yeah. Can't be too, Abby. She's very good, and she's a bombshell.
So you had a good time at the Grand Prix?
I had a great time. Yep. In fact, can we make this more realistic? There we go. That's better.
It really is hard to talk to people when you're
there. It really is.
Well, hang on.
You can't catch up over a tyre change, that's for sure.
I'm glad it's back, because you'll remember they stopped it for a while. They actually virtually ran like electric sounding.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember being in the Crown Marquee with Andy Peacock. He's going, "Isn't it great? You can't hear anything. We can just talk all day." And I'm going, "Yeah." "No, I want the car. Yes. I want the car."
Did they do something to the... They zhuzhed the engines up a bit, did they? What did they do?
No, that's the word, zhuzhed.
Zhuzhed.
That's how Red Bull describe it. Anyway. More zhuzh.
An official zhuzh. I did the Celebrity Grand Prix a few years ago.
Both done it.
We're in hybrid Lexuses. And this is when the F1 cars were still noisy.
Yes. Yeah.
So imagine 24 hybrid Lexus on the grid. And as the flag comes down, Just complete silence as 24 cars crawl up the straight towards the first bend.
You did it, Jane. What,
I did
you,
it.
What did you do it in?
Beep, beep, Barina.
Did you have your shopping in the back?
Hey, I hit 170 coming down.
Did you have it tuned into Smooth FM? What were you doing? I tell you what, I was speaking to the roulette guys and the F1s. I said, I love you guys because what I worked out, whenever I'm out in the main yards, when they come overhead, bang, 50 feet of toilet queue evaporates. Everyone looks straight up and you just go whooshka.
That's the timing.
You're in, you're out, pit stop, bang.
Yeah, I wasn't so happy with those guys. I was there again yesterday.
Yeah.
And the F18 guys flew over.
They're great.
They came into the Network 10 box and it was time. We had to head off. So I was looking around for my wife, and there she was surrounded by seven blokes.
Jumpsuits
everywhere. They're in uniform. I'm like, babe, we've got to go. And she said, who are you? Leave me alone.
Well, I was getting the I'd had a couple, but I remember speaking to the roulette guys, and I was trying to talk them into buzzing Triple M. And then I gave him your home address. I said, Jane loves this. If you're approaching from any particular direction.
That's funny. I was out on our deck, and I looked up, and they were there. Wow, that's great.
I've got a song I'd like to dedicate to the Australian cricket team.
Oh, my God. You messed about, I called you
up. How's that? Perfect. Come on. Perfect. That's good. And that's why he should be in the Hall of Fame. Do you agree with me? Darryl Braithwaite should be in the Hall of Fame for his work with Sherbet, but not as a
solo performer.
You're not going to agree with this, Liam.
This is winding Jane up.
Shut up.
Don't you think so?
No, Daryl's going to get you.
I know, he's already threatened me.
He has.
He's a superstar, Darryl Braithwaite.
He's a superstar. By the way, I have to do a correction about the car I drove in the Celebrity Grand Prix. Apparently it was in Holden Astra, not
Holden
a Barina.
Holden Astra. Who's corrected you, can I ask?
Somebody who's familiar with my stupid mix-ups.
Where did you come in the Celebrity Grand Prix?
Look,
the loosely named Celebrity Grand Prix.
Me and Ben Mendelsohn finished way
You crashed, didn't you? I think you were trying to do your lippy in the rear vision mirror. Your Garfield doll got in your way, stuck on the back window.
How dare you?
Hey, Limo, you've touched on the cricket. You brought it. Oh, by the way, we're plugging a couple of gigs of yours. What have we got coming up, Dave?
Yeah. Happy Angry can be seen at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, limo.com.au.
Yeah, get involved, or comedy.com.au.
Is this up on Blocks yet?
I've done it in Brisbane.
How'd you go?
Adelaide. Yeah, good.
I hear good things.
I've got those four out of the way. I'm ready to roll now.
Oh, good on you.
Congratulations.
No, it's good. It's good. I'm really happy with it.
You start, apart from all your work here on the Triple M network, which we love, your Triple M zone, you've got a gig on the ABC with Grandstand.
Well, Grandstand, yes. And it was a baptism of fire of sorts yesterday.
It's quite high and mighty. Really?
So you walked in on your first day.
I don't know what they were thinking, to be honest, John.
As you walked in and bang, this is unloaded. What do you make of it?
Can I say this? Can I bring you a positive out of all of this? A positive is that we Australians are very bad at cheating. We are terrible at cheating.
Can you explain?
So I say that's a positive because it's clearly not built into our DNA. Yep. We're so bad at it. So you look at these guys yesterday, bright yellow tape. Bright yellow tape. Yeah,
for a start.
Out on the ground.
Yeah. Idiots.
Bancroft is shoving it down his pants like a teenager at Big Day Out who's just seen sniffer dogs. Right? He turns his back to the umpires like there's no cameras
there. That's right. Like they're not going to see.
There's 50. Like you're not going to get away. He's fumbling around with the tape.
Jeez.
There's 52 cameras. The Australians have learnt their lesson, though.
Yes.
For their next test, they have picked David Copperfield. So he'll be...
They might have to.
Guys,
there'll be a few vacancies.
But if you look at the Essendon Football Club, the year they got involved in the supplement saga, they finished 12th. Right. Useless bit of cheating.
Yeah,
terrible
cheating.
The Melbourne Storm salary cap. Well, they didn't think anyone was ever going to audit their books. We didn't know auditors existed. that's a bit weird. What about this one? Fine cotton. We got house paint. We got house paint and painted a horse's nose.
We painted a horse. We put it on gear, and at the end of the race, it was standing there in a pool of paint, shaking. Having withdrawals.
No one will ever know.
It sweated its colours out.
Has anyone ever made a movie of that? I know we've done Farlap.
I think there's got to be.
Surely Fine Cotton deserves a run. That's a great slice of Australian history.
It really does. You know who are good? The Russians are good at cheating. They've been doing it for their masters.
Yes, they have been.
They put steroids in the potatoes. You don't even know you're on the gear. Just it's there. It's in society.
Can I tell you, who do I run into? I forget his name. He's Australian half pike bronze medalist from... James. James,
who's there? From the Winter Olympics.
From the Winter Olympics.
Scotty James.
And I just ran into him down the sandwich shop.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, geez, mate, what do you make of it?
On your way to the pie shop?
you ran into Scotty James down the street?
Yeah, mate, similar. Hanging out together. I said, mate, what do you make of all this cheating? He goes, he said the same thing. He said, the Russians need to cheat because they're shit ass at everything. He said, we're good. Why are we cheating? Australians are good at cricket. That was his surmise.
Donald Trump's another good one. He may not be good at the cheating, but he's good afterwards. This is where Smith days could have come out and said, nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Deny.
Fake news, guys.
Fake news would have been a good defence.
How about also when Bancroft pulled out of his pocket his glasses cloth? Like that, you know, it's like a school teacher's gone. The umpires have gone up and they said, what's in your pockets?
And he pulled
out his black cloth wrist and goes, just this, sir.
Just this.
That's all I've got.
And then immediately after that, he pulled out a cheese grater. Hang on a second. Well, what is Mickey, going on here?
I thought it was interesting last night. So Smith and Warner stood down from the captaincy and vice captaincy.
Fair.
And Tim Payne became captain.
Yes.
But I got a little sus. When as vice captain they appointed Edward Scissorhands, I thought that might just scuff up the ball a little bit. The Australian government is taking this seriously as well.
How seriously?
Well, they've told the leadership group they'll be coming home via Manus Island. So, hey, can I tell you though? There's been some.
Do you remember the guy? Do you know what cricket means to Australia? I'll give you a very, very good example. Yep. Do you remember? You've just sparked my memory.
Yeah.
But do you remember of all the asylum seekers, there was a bloke who got off in a cricket outfit in the full Australian one-day cricket strip because he knew how much we love cricket, how important cricket was to this country, and he thought, if I get off the boat wearing my full kit, I'm half a chance.
Very smart.
And he's in.
I'm half a chance. And, James Sutherland was emotional. Yes, a lot of people have been emotional.
He sounded...
Well, let's have a listen to him at the press conference. It really got me. Although I think... to be fair, I think he's thinking about how much money they're going to lose on the cricket rights deal.
How's the timing for unbelievable. That, Limo?
Yes.
And then there's, did you know KG Rabada, the fast bowler who got suspended for bumping into Steve Smith?
Yeah.
He was in the press conference
with
Smith and Brett Bancroft. If you listen carefully here, you can hear Rabada in at the press conference.
Wow.
Well done. You are unbelievable. Now, that was almost cheating too, wasn't it? He's
big Rabada.
Hey, well, what about this? So Warner punched Joe Root in the head. Remember that?
Yes.
Got suspended for one game. Smith cheating, suspended for one game. Warner got 12 months for diuretics.
Yeah, diuretics. A pill.
I don't know how the maths works.
They're tracked out of a World Cup.
On all of this.
Different era.
And nothing for Federer, who's one of the biggest cheats in world sport.
You are. Don't you say that again.
I maintain it.
You cannot say that. Stop it.
I will stand by it.
He'll sue you.
He takes all his breaks at the end when he's because he's an old man.
Shut up. Oh, an old man
has a shower and drags it in.
You clown.
It's not in the spirit of the rule.
A very quick couple of bits of comedy from around the place relating to this.
Yeah.
True story. Dimmicks in Brisbane have moved Steve Smith's autobiography to the true crime section. I don't know if you saw the headline in the NT News, picture of Bancroft with the headline, Why I've Got Some Sticky Near My Dickie.
Yeah. It's great to the way they cover stuff. Yeah.
Day four in South Africa, a kid went to the boundary line, called Nathan Lyon over and asked for him to autograph a piece of sandpaper.
Seriously?
True story. And on Amazon, there's a product review on Amazon of gold gaffer tape. It gets 5 stars and it says, it worked a treat. It can be cut into small pieces and easily hidden in your pants.
That is a great thing. While we're talking cheating, I've told the story before, but I love it. It's one of the great heckles from the crowd that I've ever seen. And it was Shoaib Akhtar, who'd just been again accused of cheating and chucking.
Yes.
And so, which is another way of cheating at cricket, or at least not complying to the laws. Mm. So anyway, who's filming down at the third boundary fence right in front of us, and everyone's been nicked down at their boundary. I swear this is true. There's about these 3 14-year-old boys sitting just in front of me on the fence. Shoaib Akhtar's picked up the ball, he's pinged it in, And he's got it just above the stove. So this kid stood up and gone, nice bowl. a whole stand of people burst out laughing. So you can have fun at the end of the day.
We'll see what happens in the next few days with these fellas. So,
thanks for coming in, Limo. Yeah, you've been great.
To have you in.
Thanks for having me, guys. Absolute pleasure. And yeah, it's a massive couple of days for the Aussie cricket.
There we go.
Good luck. Happy Angry can be seen at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, April 2 to 21, limo.com.au or comedy.com.au.
Thanks, Dave.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The 60 Minutes report with Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, has anyone seen it? It's online,
Yeah, I've seen online.
Right.
And you know what? It wasn't a letdown because we feel like we've known the story and we've spoken with
Stormy. Directly to her.
But there's a couple of interesting things that she did say. And one of the main things really was that she did indeed have sex with the president, now president of the United States.
Not exactly a bombshell, I would have thought.
Not a bombshell.
To hear her actually say it is refreshing. To hear her
say yes. Do you want to hear a bit of her discussion?
About
whether she did or not.
Okay.
And let's just have a listen to her.
It started off all about him. Just talking about himself, and he's like, have you seen my new magazine?
He was showing you his own picture on the cover of a magazine.
Right, and so I was like, does this normally work for you? And he looked very taken back, like he didn't really understand what I was saying. Like, does just, you know, talking about yourself normally work? And I was like, someone should take that magazine and spank you with it. And I'll never forget the look on his face. And he was
What was the look?
Just, I don't think anyone's ever spoken to him like that. Especially, you know, a young woman who looked like me. And I said, you know, give me that. And I turned around going, you wouldn't. Hand it over. And so he did. And I was like, turn around, drop him.
You told Donald Trump to turn around and take off his pants?
Yes.
And did he?
Yes. So he turned around and pulled his pants down a little. You know, he had underwear on and stuff. And I just gave him a couple swats.
This was done in a joking manner.
Yes. And from that moment on, he was a completely different person.
How so?
He quit talking about himself, and he asked me things, and I asked him things, and it just became, like, you know, a more appropriate.
Became more comfortable.
Yeah. He's like, wow, you are special. You remind me of my daughter.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Ew.
What just happened?
Yuck.
As he's standing there with his pants around his ankles and bright red buttocks from having been slapped with a magazine, hey, you're amazing. You remind me of my daughter.
And then proceeded to have sex with her. So that is a bit of an issue. So she then describes what happened next.
Okay.
He was apparently sitting on the edge of a bed.
My understanding of this is she's not that keen on it.
That's my understanding too. That it was
not
sort
really
of,
into it.
No, she just sort of. But it was consensual. But let's have a listen.
I asked him if I could use his restroom, and he said yes. You know, it's through those, you know, through the bedroom, you'll see it. So I excused myself and I went to the restroom. You know, I was in there for a little bit and came out, and he was sitting, you know, on the edge of the bed when I walked out, perched.
And when you saw that, what went through your mind?
I realized exactly what I'd gotten myself into, and I was like, ugh. Here we go. And I just felt like maybe it was sort of, I had it coming for making a bad decision for going to someone's room alone. And I just heard the voice in my head, well, you put yourself in a bad situation and bad things happen. So you deserve this.
And you had sex with him?
Yes.
You were 27, he was 60. Were you physically attracted to him?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Did you want to have sex with him?
No. But I didn't say no. I'm not a victim. I'm not.
It was entirely consensual.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So this is a woman who is a porn star.
Yeah, sure.
Films porn movies for a living and does
Stormy
some
Daniels.
Probably icky kind of things in porn,
sure,
I imagine.
Sure, yeah. I mean, she's
but
been...
she's going, ugh, groaning at the prospect, which is
guys,
fair enough.
I think we can all identify with it. Ugh, here we go vibe at some stage.
Really?
Can't we? All right, here we go. Roll up the sleeves. Get this done. Think of England. Here we go.
What ended up happening, and I don't think we've got this bit, but one of the things that did come out of it is that at one stage she was quite fearful. Because she does feel that she was threatened.
We have that bit here. We thought we wouldn't play it because it's fun for this, but I think that's really. Do you want to play it? Sure, we've got it. It's quite nasty.
Really?
Well,
do you want to play it? Okay.
It shows. Yeah. Now, can you understand then whether this is, we don't have it?
No.
I'll get it from Marshy.
Okay, and I'll explain what it is. She then goes on to say after the, I think she was given hush money, or after the, that was the only time she had sex with him, by the way.
Yes.
But they continued to sort of see each other over the time. But she was in the car one time with her young daughter and was approached by someone, she doesn't know who, but a gentleman came and said to her, stay away from Trump and or keep quiet about Trump. If and looked in, saw her child in a car seat and said, that's a very pretty little child, something like that. It'd be terrible if something happened to your child. And it rattled her.
Well, that's the terrible thing.
It is.
And there's no suggestion that it's Trump organised that.
No.
But
she was nervous and that's probably why she's been quiet up till now. They're now saying that she's broken all sorts of rules and whatever, that she owes them millions, but why is she going to pay that?
All right, well, good luck to her.
Good luck to her.
Yeah.
You know, she's, I don't know what she's, how she's going to
end
up.
Here we go.
That's what every guy wants to hear, isn't it?
If I play you that once more.
Suck it up, buttercup.
I've still got that ringing in my ears.
Hey, by the way, Kennedy Malloy's own Stormy Daniels, we had a chat with her months ago, and you can find that on our website.
She's got a good sense of humour, you'd have to.
Absolutely.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
All right, are you going ahead with this? You've been promoting this all day and it sounds totally unsavoury and it's been misleading to some of our listeners out there. You're describing this as a penis facial.
I am.
What the hell are you talking about?
Let's question Kate Blanchett's new skincare regime.
See, I beg your pardon?
Well, she is the ambassador for SK2, is that how you say it? SK2 skin cream she has for many years, which gives her youthful, dewy skin. But
don't ask her about it, though. Why not? Well, because she gets sensitive about that.
Oh, that's, you're not allowed to ask her stuff like that. Unless you ask, you have to ask a man at the same time about this.
At the same time, about his skincare.
Well,
right, what do you got?
She's freely talked about this. She and her friend Sandy Bullock. You know when someone's really good friends with someone, or they're not, but in showbiz they call them Sandy when it's Sandra.
All right.
Okay, you're great friends. Wah, wah.
Well, you've got to be too good. You've got to be good friends to go to a penis facial together.
So there's this place in New York. I actually went to the website. It's a facialist called Georgia Louise, and she offers this special facial that you can have.
All right, what is it?
All right. Quite simply, it is a facial using stem cells extracted from the foreskin of Korean babies.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
So,
how did they work that out? How do you decide one day? You know what we should try? The foreskin from Korean babies. Give us a really good complexion.
Well, someone working in a hospital after a Korean baby circumcised is doing something odd.
You know what would be good for a facial? Circumcision from the fat Indonesian smoking baby. That's who I'd get.
I'm trying.
What is going on, ladies?
All right, listen.
Hemorrhoid cream. How'd you work out hemorrhoid cream was good for your down your eyes?
I don't know how that works.
How does it work out?
So I'm just going to go into it so it doesn't seem trite that I'm talking about this.
Mystery to me.
It's really the ladies. Stem cells are collected from the foreskin during circumcision. And it's largely from Korea because it's the home to many stem cell banks.
How to throw anything away in Korea.
They've got the largest cord blood bank in the world, by the way.
Do they ever?
So they harvest these cells using a centrifuge.
Crikey.
And they export this centrifuge in needly things. That's my words, needly things. Sorry, microneedling, it's called. It's a technique, and it pumps the stem cells into the skin.
Well, you inject it into your face.
Yes. And apparently it gives us... It's got a bouquet, apparently, according to Kate.
Does it? What would that bouquet feed you?
What do you reckon? She said it. She's fair dinkum said.
Hints of, I don't know,
a
circumcision?
No, it's merely a hint.
This is I'm a circumcision. This is from Minaj.
A hint of sperm.
Oh, a hint of sperm. Chanel. Chanel, hint of sperm.
It's a new brand.
It's a facial.
It's a facial. And that's what it is. So
So these girls have too much spare time on their hands, do you think?
Yes.
So what are they sitting around together getting a a kind of...
She and Sandy are sitting around
a
just having
face
a... Must work well because
they both look pretty good, Jane Kennedy.
You reckon I'm off for that?
Guess what you're getting for Christmas.
new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
You're happy to be back?
I am happy to be back. I'm sorry it happened on a day when this is...
It's a dark day in Australian sport.
It is. Even if you're of down the other end of the pool where you think it's not that serious, it's still you've got to admit that there's something terrible happening that needs
to
be addressed.
Well, everyone's commenting on it.
And we need to work out...
We're interested in what everyone thinks.
We are interested in what everyone thinks. Can I run you through a few...
Yes, please do.
Some pretty considered responses from our socials. Steve Parker says it was crap to send Bancroft up to do it. We all agree with this.
Yeah.
He had little choice, really. He follows captain's instructions, will probably lose his place. They have a practice of doing this. It's like the youngest guy is usually the mid-on fielder and he has to put the helmet on. And well, it's a baptism of fire, Jane. It's a way you earn your stripe amongst the team. It's generally okay, except when you're asked to do things.
Unless when you're asked to cheat.
It's just when you're asked to, run someone over to the car park or cheat, possibly. You may have crossed a line. Lee Watson says, I don't justify what they did, but I think there are other coaches and captains thinking they are lucky it wasn't them. That's possibly true. This is very interesting from Alan Tao. Now, he's got a few theories going on here. I agree with some of it, not all, but have a listen. South African captain, he's talking about recently, South African captain found guilty twice in the last couple of years. An English opener gloating. Years after the 2005 series, they scientifically worked out which lolly would shine the ball best.
Oh.
If you don't do it, you get left behind. We just did it in the dumbest manner. Hopefully it'll spark a proper investigation about the balance between bat and ball. I reckon this is a big one.
Mm.
The game has swung, and I'm not saying this is it's an explanation, not an excuse.
Yes, but this will stop
the
it
idea that
the
game has swung so far in favour of the batsman, bigger bats, flatter pitches, you can only bowl two bounces in and over. Everything has been restructured to basically make it harder for the bowler.
Right.
And it's like when you look at things like Essendon and that, once you level the playing field, you have to find ways... to increase it. Now, as I said, explanation, not excuse, but it's a good point he makes that the game may have swung so far in favour of the bat against the ball. Smaller fields, bigger bats, flatter pitches, fielding and bowling restrictions. The Kookaburra ball, which can't hold shape or swing conventionally reliably, a format designed for batsmen. If you think being a bowler now is tough, wait until 20 or 30 years down the track and there'll be even fewer quality bowlers.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know what? That's a bigger picture way of looking at all this, but they're all good. And then Ben Patrick Yates down the bottom here, just seen the new Weet-Bix ad. Boxes now come with a yellow resealable tab. Scandals. How many can you do?
Oh, very nice.
Contribution today.
We've had so many calls come through and we've still got time for a few more. In fact, Max, we've got you on the line.
Oh, mate, once the Piranhas finish ripping Steve Smith apart and all the other teams and it all settles back down. But the worst part of it all, how in the hell do you get Malcolm Turnbull, who wouldn't know one end of a cricket bat to another, put his two bobs worth in? Why don't they put it back to John Howard, who did know something?
He would have turned up today in his tracksuit.
There has,
he?
In fact, been a statement out, but it wasn't directly from Mr. Howard, but it was passed on that he is as shocked as everyone, but wants due process. He's still gone the political line with what he had to say, but we do have something with we've got Malcolm Turnbull.
We've got Malcolm Turnbull. And, Max, I think you have to, I think when there's something of this gravity, that the Prime Minister of Australia, even though he knows nothing about what he's talking about, he does need to offer something.
Yeah.
We all woke up this morning bitterly disappointed by the news from South Africa. How can our team be engaged in cheating like this? It beggars belief.
Can't wait to hear what our PM
Lawrence Mooney.
Well, we'll have to get on to Lawrence Mooney and see what the PM's up to. Ross, do you have anything to contribute at this stage?
Yeah, mate. Three quick points.
Yeah.
Firstly, it's very easy to look at the incident in isolation and make judgment. Secondly, no one seems to be looking at the big picture of the entire tour, where family members have been abused, lawyers have been involved, where the rules have been bent.
Yeah.
Even though match officials have made certain determinations and you get your lawyers involved.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I believe there's an element of frustration and a potential of the Aussie team to feel a little bit hard done by, which may have driven their psyche.
Yeah, I hope you're representing them in the hearing, because
I
mounted a good case, but his stuff. I agree with you on this, that this series has been one of the most spiteful, nasty series.
Very ugly.
Both countries are notoriously aggressive in this department, but this has been spiteful. And, you know, Steve Smith's copped a couple of knocks. He's been knocked off his feet virtually by Rabada, who subsequently then got off after appealing. And there's been abusive crowds. There's been...
Officials have been embarrassed, David Warner, family members at stake.
It spiralled out of control early. This is where it's ended up. No one's come out of it looking great.
When does Darren Lehman speak? Because we haven't heard from him. When is he supposed to pop his head up?
I think he'll be come under a fair bit of scrutiny. I think when Cricket Australia announces his policy.
Well, we'll find out more in the next 24 hours, won't we? Because
and Isha Gua, who we're making contact with today, will be on the show tomorrow as
well. That's fantastic. Okay, and also tomorrow we've got Carl Stefanovic. Lee Sales on tomorrow.
Lee Sales?
Yeah. We'll ask them what they think of it too.
We'll have some more calls from you lot.
I'm sure they'll be fun.
We might try and get Gideon Haig on, because Gideon Haig to me is
a great writer.
Well, he's probably the greatest cricket writer in the world right now.
Exactly.
He'd be fun to talk to about this matter. Anything else? Any other matters arising?
I'm going
to
go and get my facial booked.
Are you?
Who knows?
If
I look shiny tomorrow, you'll know why.
All right. Some poor Korean child. That has been Kennedy Malloy, Carl Stefanovic, Lee Sales, Isha Gua tomorrow.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.